Today, I pray that God will give you eyes to see and ears to hear and the ability to speak and talk like God. Amen? Let me introduce this way. A few years ago, it's been a while, I was traveling from Cleveland to Chattanooga and Chattanooga back to Cleveland. Manzaro used to have radio broadcast and television broadcast all over this region. It was called Back to Prayer. So I traveled there back and forth, and there was a massive construction going on, like you see all the time. They wanted to change the road from two very tight lanes to four lanes. Now they just changed it from four lanes to five, six lanes. They were going to change it. That construction took a long time. So one day I was coming from there, I was very tired, and it was a hold up so long. And people were standing still. They would let this group go. Later they would let this group come. So I was just there waiting for our turn. And the Lord started speaking to me. And he showed me something that changed my life. He said, you see the inconvenience, the uncomfortability of what is going on here. People are late, people are delayed. Just so uncomfortable. He said, it's because somebody has a vision, a plan to make that road better. The count of the city. So first, before you see these things happening, they brought the city planners, the architects, and the designer. The civil engineers, they already designed exactly what that road will look like. Amen. They looked at all the obstacles, all the drainage, they looked at everything, all the problems that it would take for a new road to be there. After they've done all the engineering, all the things, the architects, everybody has put together, they finished the plan. Amen. After they finished the plan, they have approved the plan, the budget is there, everything is set in place before they started construction. So we are looking at the situation where we are. I was looking at it, I was like, because I don't know what the planners have in mind. All I knew is that there's a pile of dirt here, there's trash, there's all kinds of things, and it's causing hold up, and it's not good for me. So I was seeing it from where I am. I understood it from where I am, and it was pain. But there are other people that see it from where they are. And they know that in a matter of time, I will come back that road again and say, wow. I will enjoy that express. There was a situation again, God spoke to. There was a house that was in a land. It was depreciated and bad, and somebody bought it. They bought the house and they bought the land with it. Because the person had a vision. We didn't know what the person's vision is until a bulldozer came and destroy that old. I said, why they destroy this nice, destroying this house? You know, they could just fix it and somebody, you know, we were looking at it, but the person that was destroying had a plan for a skyscraper. He had a vision, and when they finished, that place is the center of commerce. But first they have to tear down, buy the place, tear down, finish everything, and bring an architect that has the full plan, has the full details before you go back to the beginning and begin to construct. And the Lord then used those things to teach me and give me patience. And he says, you are under construction. Amen. I am doing something. I'm transforming something, so that you can be what I intend for you to be. Amen. Amen. So in summary, before we go into this, you see, the architects and the city planners, they see the road from a different view. Amen. Amen. Yes. The builder and the person trying to bought a place and tearing it down, it's not seeing that building torn down. It's not seeing all the foundations and stuff. He's seeing the finished work. He's motivated by it. He's seeing a bigger picture. We have the God who created the universe. He created all things. Even before this earth was in formation, he knew everything. He understood everything. And he had a plan and he had a vision. And he said among themselves, let us do this. And he started speaking what he has envisioned into existence. No matter what you have written, what you plan, God has designed that. It is speaking that which you have designed is what will bring you to pass spiritually. So God has finished his plan and he started speaking it into existence. And on the seventh day, he rested. After he spoke man into existence. Now, Adam and Eve were the first people. So it was like the first house and everything was broken and corrupt and everything. God says, I will rebuild it. And so we started a journey all the way from Genesis through different generations and two different ages and dispensation. You come into your generation and you enter into God's plan for that generation. Another generation comes, these people have all passed. You enter into God's plan. You enter into God's plan. And God finished everything. So when Jesus came to now finish the whole everything, the whole process, he's the complete work. He's the finished work. On that cross, he said, it is finished. That word, it is finished, means it's finished. But it's finished doesn't mean that the manifestation of that finished work, that architectural design, those God's plan, is complete in the physical realm. So after Jesus left, the past that has to manifest, all the actors have to come into their generation and fulfill. So what God did was, he said, I will make the architectural plan available. For those who are in the earth that really wants to see what God's plan is, I'm going to make it available. I've made it available to different generations in bits. But there's a generation coming that I will give them the full architectural design. Called the Bible. So God is not trying or planning to do something. It's already finished. Hallelujah. So this morning, we want to briefly look at the ability to see through the eyes of God. Because when you see things and you understand them through the eyes of God, you'll be at peace. Amen? Amen. When God is doing construction. Whether he's doing construction here or in Ukraine or in the Middle East or whatever he's doing, whatever God is doing, we want to know how to agree and align ourselves with what his finished work is. And instead of going into fear, we are positioned in the place of understanding. So this morning, we've always been talking about the worship and the word. Today, we are still continuing in that word, that's W. But we started last week, we talked about facts and truth. So facts are what we see physically in this world, but truth are the things that God has established is finished. Truth can never be changed. Amen. Truth is always truth, and God is truth.
Amen.
Facts can change. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So as we want to look at the scripture, how God will open our eyes to see the truth and establish our prayers and speak truth. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor Wala, when he was opening today, mentioned a scripture in Isaiah 44. And actually, I want to read a connecting scripture to in Isaiah 46. In Isaiah 46, verse 10, it says, God is the only one declaring the end from the beginning.
Amen.
He declares the end from the beginning. He declares the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So, again, let me just use another story, an illustration, because these things will help us when we see what the Lord is about to show to us. It will paint, it will take you, you're about to go into a new realm of understanding. Let me use two stories in the Bible that also connects with the house construction and the road construction when the work is already finished. Let's first use the story of Abraham. That's where we are about. God told Abraham the power to manifest miracles. Abraham was here. God brought him out of the world, out of Babylon, and God told him his plan in his time. He says, Abraham, I'm bringing you out of the world because I have a plan that you're going to be part of. You are going to be father of nations. I'm going to give you a place. I'm going to establish you, and you're going to be father of nations. God spoke to Abraham, brought him out of Babylon, out of the history of the world, and wanted to bring Abraham into kingdom history. The history, the plan that God has designed. So Abraham obeyed, we said it last week, and Abraham lived almost 25 years and never saw the promise. In between, he tried to make it come to pass. Just for time, you remember what we said. But Abraham got to a point, God told him the power of agreement with heaven. First, God will show him the stars, God will show him the sand, says, that's how your children will be. And he had no child. And his wife's womb is dying. Abraham is getting old. So I want you to see what God did now. God said to Abraham, at the 24th year when he visited him, when he was 99 years old, because he had Isaac when he was 25, when he was 100, and God called him when he was 75. Genesis 17, God said to Abraham, now you are going to have Isaac. And you all know Abraham laughed, how can this be? So God told him, I have spoken it. It will come through Sarah. Amen? Why? Because whatever God speaks is finished. It's a complete work.
Yes, it's already done. Amen.
So Abraham didn't understand it. So in Romans 4:17 is where Paul received the revelation how it works for every generation. That's when he says, God now taught Abraham to speak like him. To call the things that be not as though they were. In other words, Abraham, A-B-R-A-M was his name. Now he says, your name is Abraham, the father of nations. He changed it, and what that did was he changed Abraham's mindset, Abraham's view of who he is. You don't see yourself anymore as not having a son, not the promise. Now, every day as you talk, as you say it, it changes mindset. And Abraham started living it out. That year, as soon as Abraham started saying, speaking it, I am the father of nations. I am the father of nations. I am the... He is agreeing with the voice of God. This word is God's word written. When you believe and agree, then you are speaking like God. And whatever God has spoken eventually precedes everything that is facts and brings it into truth. So Abraham started saying it, and somehow within that year, Sarah's womb received life, and Sarah gave birth to Isaac. Amen? Because what God spoke here to Abraham was not, he spoke it to Abraham only when Abraham's time has come. Before Abraham was born, God already has finished what he planned to do. But it was Abraham's time. So God is now telling Abraham, this is my plan before the foundations of the world. You will be part of it, so it's good for you to have an idea. So it's not like he's telling Abraham, it's going to happen now. It's already finished. So whether Abraham, Sarah's womb, whatever it is, the word of God will surely come to pass. It's finished. So with Joseph, God said to Joseph, you know, Joseph was is part of the lineage of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob, in Jacob's children. So he can tell he has a relationship, and he was, whether in prayer or whatever he's doing, received an encounter. And God now told Isaac, told Joseph, he said, Joseph, you are going to, here is the part of the plan you're going to play. I have finished the script of your generation. Here's your part in it. And he showed it to him in a dream. Very soon you will understand why we see visions, why God reveals things in a dream. Very soon. So Abraham, Joseph received it. And then listen to what happened. As soon as Joseph received it, it is towards the end of the movie of Joseph's life, of what God has written, that Joseph told his brother what God intended. It wasn't you, it was the enemy. So there is a point where the enemy came in through the positions of the brothers and decided to see if he can stop the vision. Amen? So he put him, first he wanted to kill him, he didn't kill him, you all know through what Joseph went through. It was finally, he brought Joseph came to the lowest, to the bottomless, to the impossibility place in the human sense. If you look at it from a human perspective, that's the end of the vision. At that point, God prepared a ladder of promotion. The worst the enemy did, like the cross with Jesus, was the end of the enemy's plan in that moment. Because why? When you have received a word from God, anything that's tied to stop it is stopping themselves. Anything the devil is trying to do actually will promote it, as long as you are speaking like God. You are speaking what God says. You are confessing what God says. You are believing what God says. You will finish with what God has promised. That's the fight of faith. Fight of faith. You see the facts? The world, that's what we believe. You can never deny it. You feel it. You know it. Your bank, your body, your whatever, is facts, and you are speaking truth, and you are saying, no, this is what I believe, and you're speaking like God. Eventually, what God said will win.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Amen. So that's the principle. But now I want you to open to the book of Mark 11. I want to show you something that has helped me. Mark 11. We are about to start winding up on the W so that we can move on very soon, but because we can't exhaust the word of God. But there are just some basic things about the word of God that we cannot overlook. So we go to Mark 11. We started that last week about facts and truth. In Mark 11, we read from verse 21. No, from verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, says unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cast is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, and Jesus said, have faith in God.
Amen.
Verse 22. Deep secret here. For truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I'm telling you, generations read this. People read this. I've read this all my life. But it's there's a secret there. And it's through a practice, a training. The key word there is believe.
Amen.
He said, "What if you believe and doubt not?" Let me tell you, the only way you doubt something is you don't believe. So believe, what is believe? It took so many years for God to start breaking this after so many mistakes, after so many failures. Let me use the physical. You believe what you see, and you don't doubt it. Anything you physically see, nobody can doubt it. That's belief. I see Steve, I see Tyre. There's no way you can come and convince me I'm not seeing them. I'm talking about 1 + 1 physically. Because I see her. I see him. So belief is the absence of doubt. And what you believe, nobody can change your mind about it. The guy that wanted bread, he knew there is bread in that room. He believed it. So you can't tell him, go home without bread when somebody's going to die of hunger. So belief is what you see. Again, belief has to do with what you hear. Because people's voices are very clear. Our voices are like our fingerprints. If you listen to people a little bit, their voices are distinguishable. But what you see, you cannot doubt. And what you don't doubt, nobody can stop you and take it away from you. So he says, how can you speak to a mountain, a fact? Something is real. It's a mountain. It will kill you. It will destroy you. It will defame your image. These things are real. Whether it's a sickness, whether it's this, whatever it is, the mountain is a real thing. It's a fact. If you don't believe that fact, then you cannot believe the truth to change it. It's real. You have to settle that. So you see the mountain, it's real. How can you say to the mountain, to the sickness, to the bank account, to the situation, you must change your position in my life? How can you say that? You can only say something to a mountain when you see something else that makes you believe otherwise.
Amen.
Because God is a spirit. You don't see him. Amen?
Amen?
You don't see him. And God is a spirit. He's written this word for us. But this word goes into our carnal mind first. So no matter how much you read this word, the mountains are real. And sometimes this word doesn't look real. Sometimes people tell you, be real. Even when you are confessing the word. Why? Because until you see, you cannot change your belief system, your mindset. Before you can say to the mountain, be thou removed. So how do we see so that we can believe? Amen? Amen. And then we can confess. Hallelujah. So, I want to explain it this way. Hallelujah. Let's open to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12 verse 2. This is Paul speaking. Paul says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. That's after his encounter. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up in the third heavens. I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. He was caught up in the third heavens. So I want to illustrate something to you about using that reality. The third heaven is where God dwells. It's Mount Zion. It's what we read every day. It's the throne room of God. It's Revelations 4. If you've read it, it's Revelations 5. God took John in the spirit and showed him a place that is real. Isaiah saw this place in Isaiah 6, real with the glory of God. They saw it. John was taken in the spirit. He saw it. It's a real place. It's a real place. He saw it. Amen? He saw it. And he wrote it down. It's a real place. But Paul said, when he got saved, he was taken in the spirit to that place. And he saw. And he heard from the third heaven. So if the third heaven is God's throne, is God's habitation, is God's place of rulership, that means that is the seat of all power. Amen? So here is what is happening. If there's a third heaven, then there's a second heaven. The second heaven is what Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 6 as wicked spirits in the heavenlies. This place also is not so physical, but it's a real place where spirits dwell. Principalities and powers, satanic level. Amen? Then the first heaven is where we are. Where we dwell. Where human beings dwell. The galaxies, the stars, the things you can touch and feel, people going to the moon, going to the stars, all these are the realms of the physical. God has given man ability to see. So, this is first heaven. This heaven we see here, the heavens, is the first heaven. The place of the natural, the place of the carnal. The second is the place you don't see. It's a spiritual place for principalities and powers. They operate from that realm. I can break that down. Then the third is God's throne. Amen? Amen. It's God's abode. It's God's. So now, here is the picture. Like I told you about the builder and the architect and the rose construction. So let's say this is God's throne. So just using a picture, this is the third heaven, the highest of highest, seated in the heavenlies above principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Seated there, Jesus said. That's third heaven. Then this place, let's say, is the second heaven in terms of, you know, first heaven where God dwells, second heaven here where Satan and his cohorts, Revelation 12. First heaven is where we are, this us. Amen? So from what I just shared with you, God has finished his plan. The kingdom of God, the third heaven, the throne room of God has said, let us do this plan. Let's create the earth. Let's plan. Let's do all this. They, like an architect, they have finished everything. They've drawn the plan. They finished it. The book of Revelation says it. They close the chapter. Everything has been done. So they say, now let's begin the process. Let's lay the foundation. Let's begin to build from generation. So that's where everybody starts coming in. So what happens here is God created Satan to be the test of the process so that whatever God is building is solid. Amen? Anything that is sound, that is not built on the rock, will not be. It will be tested. So Satan is created as the test for the kingdom of God. So he's in the second heaven. Amen? And then we are here. So I want you to see. So now God says, this is my word. This is what I do. This is what I promise. God has spoken. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. God speaks it. That's God. So God has spoken. And God says, he comes here and he says, Abraham, this is what we decided we'll do with you. Joseph, this is what we decided. Satan comes from this second heaven and says, I'm going to test it. How do I test it? I'm going to use people. I'm going to use circumstances. I'm going to, like Job, he went to God. Job, have you seen my servant Job? I want to test him and see what Job is made of. And he said, okay, all right, go. So he tests. And he tested, and he came. So Abraham was struggling when he was testing. Abraham believed God because he saw the vision. But Abraham was struggling. Why? Because in the physical realm, we believe what we see. This is called the world view. This is our view of things in the earth. We believe what we see. So Abraham believed, if Sarah's womb is dead, that's what I've been taught. That's what I know. That's what this realm has told me. She cannot have a child. That's this realm. Facts sealed. So, God, you told me this. You said this. But what I'm seeing is not going to happen. Amen? So, what happened? So God said, Abraham, since you believe in your heart, but you're struggling with your mind, now change your mind by speaking what I told you. Don't look at what you see. Speak what I said. So Abraham started saying, I am the father of nations. You read it now. You read it in Romans 4. He says, Abraham despised what he was seeing. Jesus despised all that he was seeing, but was looking unto God. What God has said. He says, is there no other way? No, God says, no, you must go through this process. Satan would, the flesh would test it. He said, yes. Then Jesus started saying, no, not my will, but your plan. Amen. He was looking. So now, as Abraham started speaking like God and speaking into that thing, God caused what is dead to receive life. It's in Romans 4. Amen? He changed the situation. The word of God did. So what is the ability to believe and not doubt? The ability to believe and not doubt when you're speaking to mountains, to opposition, to reason, is the ability to see from the third heaven. Because when we are facing situations in this world, worldview, like Joseph, like David. God said he will be king. And we see him going through, and we are going through, and I'm going through. What do we always do? Our situation, we always say, the devil, the devil, the devil. Because the devil is like, devil, 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 devil. Amen? Because the devil has part in it, but the situation can be so bad, we just think the devil is in charge because of the situation. But God told through Elisha to his servant, he was seeing the devil, seeing the Syrian army, seeing all the problem, and the servant says, God, open his eyes to see from here. And the servant's eyes opened, and he saw the way heaven was seeing. And he saw chariots of fire. He saw the entourage. He saw the spiritual realm. What the third heaven is already planned. And he just relaxed. But as long as he was seeing the circumstance from the mind and the flesh, and seeing from the second realm what the devil is bringing, he was paralyzed with fear. But when he saw from here, when his eyes opened, he entered into peace. That's what they call faith. Faith is the ability to see from God's perspective. And when you see from God's perspective, you speak from God's perspective. Regardless of the facts, if you believe with your mouth, with your heart, and confess with your mouth. Confessing with your mouth. Confessing. Really quick, it's a mindset change. Your heart can believe, but if your mind is not in alignment, it's a struggle. But once your mind starts changing, the situation must change. I went through a situation. Let me just say this. I can tell you stories, but let me tell you just one story that might not mean a lot to you. See, when you're raised up from the world and God calls you out, it doesn't mean that the way you're raised from the world disappears immediately. Your worldview, whether you're from Iran or from Israel or from America, there is a worldview you will be raised in. It's a culture you'll be raised in. It's your mindset. You see everything through that mindset. Amen? Because we're human, carnal. So, the way we were raised, I was in Africa, because of the demonic things that happen a lot at night, I grew up afraid of night. But here, you can have a small boy say, I'm going to go camp in the bush and stay there by themselves. Stay there, they won't care. Camp for days. Because of the culture. That's nothing. But from the culture I came from, night and bush, forest, is instigate fear. You think witches and all the evil are just there. So I had that mindset. So now, I'm a Christian, but the mindset did not leave. I love God, I pray, I worship God, but when I used to live, in a place where it was surrounded by bush. Some of you have been there. Yes. Bush, okay. You know, but that's your culture doesn't worry about, dark places. But from my culture, it was a big deal. So where I lived was bush and dark. So when I come back from church, I would drive. I would make sure the garage is open so I can go in and then go and turn lights on and just relax. And sometimes when I'm there, I can't come out at night or walk around at night. Why? Because in my mind, evil is around because it's night and bush. So just to cut the long story short, that's the mindset. So one day I've come to church. I say, God, why will I be a Christian and still be afraid of darkness? And that's when God started opening my eyes to my scriptures. Paul said, pray that the eyes of your understanding will be opened. So God started enlightening, opening my eyes. And John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. There was nothing made that was made. And the Word was life. And the life is light. And the light shines in darkness. And darkness cannot stand it. Cannot come. Immediately God started giving me my identity. The life you have now is Christ. That life is light. You are now the light. And that light is in you. And wherever you go, As a human in the flesh, I walk out this afternoon and the sun is shining. Amen? Human. And then the Lord said, in the night you walk out and it's dark. Say the same in the spirit. You are now the son of God. Every 24/7 of your life, you are in alignment with the Son of Righteousness. Anywhere you go, you are not just light, but light surrounds you. When that revelation came and I started practicing it, I would just come back and I would just walk around and walk to my house. God started changing it until there's a place I go to pray. Keziah knows the place. When I really want to go away in fasting and prayer for days, and I don't want distraction, there's a place a friend of mine has. He opens the door. The place is in the bush of bush. And you can't get to the place. It's an island. You can't get to the place unless they carry you in a boat. So anytime I'm going there, they have to take me in a boat and drive me to the middle of nowhere in an island, and I'm the only one in that island. They take the boat and drive back. In other words, I cannot come back. I'm there in that bush, in that place, in an island, nowhere to come back myself alone. Why? Because my mindset has been shifted. Through believing and confessing the word, something has shifted. What I used to believe was a mountain and it has moved. And now I can be in darkness. I can walk in darkness and all I see is light. Amen. Amen. That's transformation. It applies to everything. I speak to my bank account. I speak to my body. Because I am confessing what I believe. And as my mind is changing, that thing is not healed, but I feel better. Before I know it, the thing I wake up is gone. Because our mind has to be changed. Amen. Amen? So, my brothers and sisters, another reason why I share this is this. God has finished his work. No man can change it. And whenever God is doing something, he wants us to see it from the third heaven. Amen? Now, for you to remember, let's see the third heaven as this place. Huh? The second heaven here. Then we live here. So who do you need to listen to? Do you need to listen to what culture, what people, what this world is saying? That's worldview. That if Democrats say this, Republicans say this, that's human thinking. Satan can say something else from the occult world and change the plans. But then if you really want to see things well, you go to the third heaven. The third heaven gives you an idea of what God's plan is. Amen. So when you see it from here, what is prayer? You now take what God said from the third heaven and you begin to pray, God, help me to believe this. Help me to see this. Help me to understand this. Help me to stand in this. Help me to apply this. Amen. That's prayer. Amen. Prayer is agreeing with the word until it becomes spirit and life. Amen. And changes your situation. Or else it just cannot. Finally, here, there's war, confusion, turmoil happening in the earth. Here, Satan is telling his team, or court word, all the planners, and said, let us stop the Christians. Let us bind them up. Let us restrain them. Let's block them. Let's have this religion. Let's have that religion. Let's put laws. Let's do all this. Let's. Psalms chapter 2. Why do the heathens rage? Why are they conspiring and thinking, we are here like, oh my God, I can't do this. Oh, the laws. Oh, the this. True. Facts. But look at what heaven is doing. God sits here and he says, ah. He laughs. He laughs. And that's what he's looking for his children. When Jesus was leaving, the disciples were tore up. They were miserable. They were all kinds of things. And Jesus says, you don't understand. It's important I go this way. He's looking. He said, if I don't die, if I don't go through this, you will not inherit heaven. You will just remain the same. They didn't get it until Jesus died. And he says, their eyes opened and they understood after resurrection. So my brothers and sisters, we cannot limit our prayer, our understanding of world view events to politicians. If you put your mind in the systems of the world, you'll be here fighting like human beings. If you limit it to what the devil is doing and what the devil can do, it becomes more frustrating. That's why God raises prophets. That's why God raises seers. That's why God wrote this book and said, I'm giving my plan of my construction. See it from my finished work. See what I'm doing. See where I'm going. The song Tanya sang, it says, we know how it ends. Fearless. So my brothers and sisters, whether it's a personal need, whether it's a church need, I tell you, our staff knows this. I've shared it with the department leaders. Man, Zion is not living based on the size of this congregation. God has shown us what his plan and where he's going and what he wants to do with us. And we know that it's not by the numbers you bring it to pass. You agree with him in prayer. And as you agree and you keep agreeing, it will come to pass. That's why we pray. Because we want to be in his plan. So my brothers and sisters, this is not time to fear. And this is not time to take what is happening in the world lightly. It's time to pray. Amen. America is at war. If you don't wake up to that reality, you might still be sleeping. God is calling us to agree with heaven so that God's plan be done. Israel is at war. Iran is at war. These three combined is a major shaking. And the world is shaking. And God is calling us, come and see things from my view. And begin to pray so that my plan, my will, not Satan's plan, not human plan, so that my will be done in the earth as we have already designed it in heaven. Amen. Only through prayer. Amen. Because if not, there's going to be a massive shortage of gas if we don't pray. It's already happening. I saw it. I shared it with these people here. We prayed. And the massive shortage of gas caused massive shortage of food. In America here, I saw it. But if we don't pray, you can see it's almost going there. We saw it way before this thing started. So God shows us what the enemy is planning so that we can pray against it until God's timing. Amen? Amen. 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 So let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The purpose of what God is teaching us is the Word of God. God wants us to start agreeing with him regardless of the facts. No matter the pain, no matter, to start confessing and believe. If you're tired or you're struggling, say, God, give me a vision. Give me understanding. There are many of us that when we're struggling, God gives us dreams. The purpose of the dream is to reinforce to you that I will do it. Keep speaking my word. Keep standing. Yes. Keep exercising. Yes. Abraham struggled. God showed him the stand. Showed him the sky. Why? He's human. We are human. We feel it. But God reinforces our ability to trust that he's in control.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So don't be shaken about what's happening in the Middle East. But don't be ignorant about what to do. We need to go back and stand on this. Amen. Let's sing this song, and then I just want you to agree with the word of God. This song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All the ground is on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All is sinking sand. All the ground is sinking sand. Just take a moment and stand on the promises of God for you, for your situations. Begin to pray, God, I stand on your promise. Remember your promise. Remember the vision. You don't just hear this word to go and forget. It's for you to take a stand with God. Agree with him now, today. Now faith is. Your eyes have been opened to see the power of the word taking effect in your life. Can you begin to believe? Can you begin to confess? Agree with heaven. Agree with the Holy Spirit. Agree with the Father. Agree now over your situation. Agree. Begin to agree. Begin to speak. Yes. Exercise. Demonstrate. This is your moment. Yes. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, all things are possible. Every mountain can move at the mention of your name, by your word. You open doors no man can close. You make a way like you did in the wilderness. You make a way where there seems to be no way. You open doors. You raise the dead. You cause the lame to walk. You open blind eyes. Because your word cannot change, but you change all things. Father, awaken us to be believers again. In this hour, we thank you for more testimonies. We thank you for more testimonies. We thank you for more testimonies. We thank you for believers in Zion, that the signs will begin to follow us. Testimonies will begin to follow us. In the name of Jesus, we are believers. We believe your word. We believe your promise. In the name of Jesus, we stand upon your word, the rock that cannot be moved. You said you will shake everything that can be shaken, but your word, your promises is our rock, is our foundation. Father, bring us back to your foundation. Bring us back to you. In this hour, we will not fear. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lamb of God. Receive the glory. Receive the honor. I want you to shout from your heart, I am a believer. Amen. 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 In Jesus' name. Amen. Testimonies will follow you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah.